Okay, here we are, and I have author Rebecca Talley with me, and you have to know something about Rebecca. Not only is she an author, but she is on, like, what, two different blogs, or is it three?
Two different blogs.
Yeah, I know she does her personal blog, which I love. I go there often, and then tell our listeners the name of the second blog that you blog with.
A Ton of Authors and a Wannabe .blogspot. It's with CFI Authors.
I know it's funny. They have a lot of good things that you guys talk about and different points that you bring up. But you want to talk about your book. I had the privilege of reading her book, Heaven Sent, because I was one of the judges for the Whitney Awards when her book was one of the nominees in the youth fiction for the ones that we all read. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we had a book, I think it was like 15 different books that we all read. And yours was one of them. So you had that many votes that people turned in that we were able to at least get your book. What do you think about that?
I had no idea. That is wonderful. Wow, what great news.
Yeah, it was really neat because out of the 15, then it got narrowed down to the 5. But I really enjoyed your book. It was a very emotional book. And what I'm wondering is where you got the ideas behind Heaven Sent.
Well, when I was a little girl, my mother passed away, and she always wore a very distinctive perfume. And so throughout my growing up years, and even when after I had my second child who was in the hospital, I could always smell her perfume when it was, you know, very traumatic times in my life. And that let me know that she was there. She was with me. And even though I couldn't see her, I could smell her. And sometimes I felt like I could reach out and touch her. And that kind of gave me the idea, because I believe so strongly that those that we've loved and lost are still so close around us, and they care about what happens to us. And even though we can't actually see them, they're still involved in our lives, and they still want us to make good choices, and they want us to do the right thing, and they care about us. And that was the message of the book for me.
You know, it was just so emotionally charged. I mean, I had a hard time reading it without crying and just feeling, I don't know how you wrote this. I mean, I can see you're tearing up right now. And did you, when you were writing it, did you go through the same emotions as you were actually writing and rewriting?
I did. You know, I thought about how I felt after my mom died, and how, you know, I missed out on things because I didn't have my mom, and how much of a comfort it was to me that when I could smell her perfume, and I knew that she was there. And for me, that's always been really important for me, to know that the people that I've loved and lost are still there, and someday I'll see them again.
You know, I totally agree and can relate to this. I had a son that was stillborn at 35 weeks. And so, you know, when I think about Matthew, we always say when we find pennies on the ground that's Matthew telling us hi, or telling his brother and sister that he's thinking about us. And so, you know, I can totally understand and relate to what you're saying. You know, it just really, I can feel what you're saying here. Now, I want you to tell us a little bit more about the main character. And I don't know how much you want to give away, because you don't want to give too much away. That's why I'm not saying really what happens, because I know there's an element of surprise. So just tell us a little bit about the main character.
Well, the main character's name is Liza, and she's a very gifted basketball player. I played basketball in high school, but she's the kind of player that I wish I had been in high school. And that's very important to her. But she's also struggling because her relationship with her father is very rocky. And so through the book, she's trying to repair that relationship. And then there's the tragedy that happens and forces her to really have to deal with the relationship with her father and work that out and forgive and go on.
You know, this came at a really important time in my life, because right when I got the book, it was just a few months after my husband had left and we were heading toward a divorce. And it was the whole message of forgiveness was really important for me, even though my circumstances were totally different from hers. It was still that idea of letting go and having to totally forgive in order to heal. Was that the main message that you wanted to put across? Or one of them? I mean, there was a lot of messages there, but was that
Oh, yeah. You know, we all have things that happen, and some of the things that happen are, you know, not our fault, but if we hang on to, you know, these horrible feelings or being mad and being angry, we can't move forward, and we can't feel the spirit, and we can't enjoy the blessings that are still waiting for us, even though we might be going through a really hard trial. And I've witnessed people who haven't been able to forgive, and the pain that that causes, and how that affects the rest of their lives. And I really wanted to write something about learning to forgive and learning to get past it and learning to live again and embrace life again, even after something that's happened that might have been very traumatic, and being able to see that there's still beauty in life again.
Well, and this was a hard lesson throughout the whole book for her. I mean, I can't recall a book where I read where a character struggled like through the whole book. I mean, it's not like halfway through all of a sudden she gets enlightened and goes, oh, okay. No, she doesn't do that. You can just feel the intense struggle that she had, you know, throughout the whole book. So I think you did a fabulous job in character development. Very, very good.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Thank you very much.
You know, after writing such an emotionally charged book, such as Heaven Sent, where there's so many feelings that, I mean, deep, deep feelings, are you writing something a little bit lighter next time, or are you still heading off to something like this? What are you doing now?
Well, I have a book that's coming out probably in June, and it's an LDS romance, and it's very light and fluffy and just fun, and, you know, hopefully it's kind of a romantic comedy, and that should be available this summer. I'm currently working on a women's fiction right now about an LDS woman who has a large family, and some of the ups and downs of having a large family and some different things that happen. So not quite as light and fluffy as the romance, but that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, you can definitely relate to the large family. Is it seven kids that you have, or six?
I have 10.
10. Hello, I was off. I was way off. 10. And did you give birth to all 10?
Yes. Yes, I actually gave birth to all 10. No twins, just 10. My oldest will be 22, and my youngest is 3.
Okay, if you've never seen Rebecca, she looks absolutely fantastic. For a woman that has given birth 10 times, I am just amazed. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it sounds like to me that after you wrote a book like this, that then you went towards something a little bit lighter. Do you feel as a writer that you need to do that? That you can't always just do the same level of intensity? I mean, I see some writers that, you know, always have these action-packed books constantly one after another. I'm thinking, don't you need to give yourself a break?
Well, for me, it was just kind of that was the next story that was in my head, and it was fun and funny, and it made me laugh, and so I wrote this LDS romance, and then when I finished that, the next story was about this woman of a large family, and it's just kind of what story kind of plays in my head, and that's what I decide to work on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you hope for in the future. What would you really like in the future as far as your writing? What are your goals for yourself? I don't know if this is something that you think about a lot. I mean, I think most writers kind of have a dream what they would like to accomplish as a writer.
I'd love to just keep writing for the LDS market and creating novels that entertain or touch people. I'd also like to write some more for kids. I write magazine articles, and I have a picture book that I'm working on and a chapter book that I'm working on for kids, and so I'd like to also pursue the national market for children.
Okay. Wow. See, you are just so varied and so broad. And you know, if you've read her blog, I mean, I've kept up on your blog, and I'm just amazed at everything you do, and knowing that you have 10 children and doing all this, how do you keep it all straight?
Well, I have an attention span of a 4-year-old, so I have to go from one thing to the next so I don't lose interest, but I just try to balance it. You know, sometimes I get everything done, and sometimes I don't, and I just kind of go with the flow.
Well, I want you to kind of think about this next question a little bit. What have you heard back from maybe someone that's read your books or read something that really affected them and helped them. I mean, that's got to be a satisfying thing when you hear that. Is there a story that you'd like to share of maybe someone that wrote to you about how your book touched their lives?
Well, actually, it was my blog. I'd been working on my blog, and somebody sent me an email and said, "I love what you write on your blog. You're touching people's lives, and I hope you keep writing." And for me, that was, I mean, that's why you write, so that it touches somebody, if it touches one person. I've also had people contact me and tell me that they particularly liked Heaven Sent, and that it touched them and made them think differently about some things in their lives, and that always makes me feel really good to know that my writing has touched somebody, because that's what I really want to do. Is, you know, for me, it's just about being able to share the story with other people, and the more people that read it, the better. But that's what it's really about, is just being able to share the story.
What do your kids think about you being an author?
Do they like you being an author?
Do they wish that you wouldn't be an author and have you more time? How do they feel? Since I'm just starting to plunge into this and haven't really spent a lot of time writing yet and don't know what, I just want to know what to expect with my kids and how they're going to react.
My oldest son thinks that my laptop is an appendage to my body and that I am just always working on it. But, you know, my kids, they do like it. And they, of course, they think every other author is way cooler than I am. But they like that I write, and they like that I've, you know, they've all read my books. They like it.
Well, what would they like you to write? Would they want you to get into some fantasy, or, you know, I mean, what have they ever said, "Mom, would you write this kind of a story?"
No, I'll let them read what I've written, and I have a couple of kids that are really into writing. I have a daughter that's almost 12 that loves to write and is writing her own stories, and so she likes to read mine, and she lets me read hers, and, you know, I think they just enjoy that I enjoy writing, and that when I'm writing, then I'm a happier mom.
There you go, when you're doing something that you enjoy doing. I mean, that's how, with my kids, with my reading, bad reading habit of always having a book in front of my face, they know that when I can get some time to read,
yeah,
I am happier. So that makes a huge difference. So now, you know, one thing that I've noticed, there are some issues, or not issues, but some different things that you blog about, you know, some things that you feel very strongly about. I kind of wanted you to tell our listeners some of the things that you blog about and that you really, it's not like you're trying to make a point, but things that you just really want to share with other people. Do you want to talk about a few of those things?
Well, let's see. My kids say that I have an opinion about everything, and there is not anything that I ever have an opinion about. Probably my strongest opinion is about abortion and about, you know, just trying to make people realize that it's a baby, and that, you know, when they remove the baby, they remove life, and that every life is precious, and it doesn't matter. You know, I have a child who has Down syndrome, and he has an extra chromosome, which you can find out, you know, when you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of all women who find out that their child has Down syndrome choose to abort that child. And that's heartbreaking to me, because I can't imagine my life without my son. And he's wonderful. And even though he has an extra chromosome, he is such an important part of our life. And he is, I just can't imagine my life without him. And I want to say to women, especially women who, their pregnancy, you know, they find out that they have a child with Down syndrome, it's a gift. It's a wonderful thing. It's not horrible. It's not terrible. It's wonderful, and every child deserves to live.
No, I totally agree with all that. My son that died, he had trisomy 9. And if he would have lived, he would have had his own share of problems.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That would have been a great blessing in my life at the same time. So I can, you know, understand what you're saying. And I don't, you know, I just have a hard time even thinking about getting rid of a baby. You know, because we struggled a long time to get our family. And then after having lost one. And so Now, do you sometimes have people, other than LDS people, that go to your blog? I think I have noticed that. And some of them sometimes challenge you. How do you react to that when someone challenges you on a blog that you've written?
I just try to answer back as honestly as I can. I had a lot of comments because in Colorado, we had an amendment that they wanted to pass that determined my people that oppose that, and I of course supported it. And so we had a lot of bantering back and forth about, you know, I didn't have the right to speak against abortion. And, you know, we all have our own right to have our own opinions and to, you know, fight for what we believe in. And so people who have different opinions, you know, I try to just say, you know, I appreciate your opinion, but this is my opinion. You can try to share it as nicely as possible.
Yeah, I always find it really interesting when I get on there and I see that somebody is, you know, you can sit there. I mean, they totally believe in what they're saying, but at the same time, I mean, you handle it very, very well. Now, was it your blog where people were talking about the weight that Jessica Simpson had gained? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And how they were making such a big, yeah, and the mom jeans. Okay, tell a little bit about that. That was one of my favorites. About the mom jeans.
But, you know, I mean, people were being so critical about Jessica Simpson for gaining a little bit of weight. And, you know, our society is so obsessed with how you look that, you know, I found it interesting that people were just so critical about her wearing mom jeans, especially because, you know, I wear mom jeans. And that same thing happened when I blogged about Susan Boyle.
Yes.
Who was on Britain's You Got Talent. And nobody expected that beautiful voice to come out of her because she didn't look beautiful. And, you know, how shallow we are as a society to say, oh, well, only beautiful people can have talents. Only beautiful people can do this. Who's beautiful? I mean, who are we to decide this person's beautiful and this person's not? And, you know, again, because I have a child with, you know, Down syndrome, people are going to look at him and decide, oh, he can only do this, he can only do that. And, you know, I think that just shortchanges the opportunities that you have to meet people if they don't fall into your certain, you know, criteria of what's beautiful. You're going to miss out on meeting people and experiencing what you can have. And so, yeah, that was an interesting blog with Jessica Simpson and the mom jeans.
No, I know, because I'm thinking, well, I'm a mom, and I wear mom jeans, so I totally agree. It was like I totally could understand, but I just always find it interesting how people react. I've been pretty staying out of dangerous waters of my blog. I just blog about books and reading, so, you know, most people, you know, don't say anything bad about that. You know, if they don't read, they don't read, and they don't comment, but I just felt like it's been really, I just admire your courage to, you know, talk about events that and things that are a little bit more controversial. So,
well, I unfortunately don't usually shy away from controversy, and, you know, sometimes embarrasses my kids. But you know, things that I feel really strongly about, and passionate about, I feel like I have to stand up for what I believe in, and at least, you know, put it out there that there's a different way to think about this issue or that issue. And, you know, I just feel like I have to stand up for what I believe in, and my blog's a perfect way to do that.
You know, I think that's a very good example to your children, you know, and standing up in what you believe in. Because I think there's so many people that don't, and especially nowadays, with everything that's happening in our country right now, you know, I just think it's so important that we show our kids that it is important to go ahead and stand up and you know, and tell people what you believe in.
Well, and that's what I've tried to, you know, teach my kids. We live in an area that's not predominantly LDS, and they go to a high school where, you know, there's a handful of kids that are LDS, and so they are constantly ridiculed and mocked because of their beliefs, but they stand up for what they believe, and they say to the kids, you know what? You don't have to believe the way that I believe, but you need to respect me for what I believe. and this is what I believe, and, you know, they stick to it, and I've been really proud of them because they've been able to stick to what they believe in spite of, you know, a lot of peer pressure to change their beliefs.
No, that's so good. I mean, because especially as a teenager, you're so swayed, you know, and going one direction or the other. And so, and how many teenagers do you have at your house right now?
Let's see. I have three, four. Well, one's about to have a birthday, so I will then have three. Almost one. I don't know.
There's just a lot of kids there, huh? No, but I know you probably handle them all so well because you're very put together and you seem very organized. And so is your husband just home with all of them now, or the older kids helping watch the kids this weekend?
We actually brought some of the kids to this conference, and my husband's taken them out, and they're going to the Nickel Arcade and swimming and going to the parks and, you know, doing all the fun stuff because dad's the fun parent. And, and then some of my other kids are at home because they were actually performing in plays this weekend. So.
Oh, my. So is that your older kids that were in the plays? And that's too bad that they couldn't come with you guys, but all right. Well, I want you to look at, you know, your books are produced by, or published by...
Cedar Fort.
Okay, are they the main company that you have published with? It's just Cedar Fort?
Well, my picture book was published by Wind River Publishing, and that came out in 2003. But Heaven Sent and my novel that will be coming out that I think will be titled A Window Opens are both published by Cedar Fort.
Okay, now, what is the hardest part about being a writer?
The hardest part for me is finding enough time to really work on what I want to work on, because for some reason my kids want to eat dinner every night, and the laundry mountain just keeps growing and growing, and the house needs to be clean, and, you know, there's just so much to do all the time that just trying to find enough time to really focus on, you know, what I want to write is probably the hardest thing for me.
What is the easiest thing about being a writer?
The easiest thing is just having the ideas come and, you know, having these stories that kind of form in my head, and the characters that carry on conversations in my head, and, you know, when I'm in the shower, sometimes I actually answer them and ask me questions, and I think that's the easiest part, just all the great stories that come into my head, but then trying to find the time to write those stories is what's really hard.
So when you get ideas, how do you record them? Do you write them down on a piece of paper? Do you run to the computer? Do you have a little voice recorder? How do you keep all your ideas straight?
I actually have a notebook, and I write down whether the ideas are, you know, a picture book or a chapter book or an LDS novel or an article, or, you know, what the different ideas are, and I have subheadings, and then, you know, I just flip to those subheadings and write down what's in my head, and that's how I keep track of them.
That's really good. I know that Jeff Savage is going to be talking today about creating a character Bible, and I'm very curious, is that kind of like what you do with yours, or are you going to be going to his class too?
I'm going to be attending his class to see how he does it, because it sounds very intriguing, having a character Bible.
That's what I thought too. I thought, but, and I know with Jeff, he always has all these ideas, and so it'll be interesting to see if you can get them all in the time period that's allotted. We've podcasted with him before, and he just likes to talk even more than both of us do here. Is there anything else that you wanted to let our listeners know about your writing or your books?
I did create a new website dedicated to writers. It's at www.pursueyourwritingdream.com. And in it, I've got different articles on the writing craft. At some point, I want to be able to offer some online classes and a critique service. But that's kind of what I've been working on, filling that up with some different articles and different products to help people who want to get published and want to write their stories.
You know, that sounds like a lot of fun for me as I'm just starting into all of this. So I will go home and bookmark that once I get home. Make sure that I am going there often because I need a lot of help. This has always been my dream, but I still need, that's why I'm here, to get all the training and learn as much as I can. But, well, thank you so much. It has been so nice to talk to you. And I hope that you'll drop by tonight before the Whitneys and talk to everyone else of LDS Women's Book Review so you can meet them also, because okay. I know they want to meet you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been great, and it's been fun talking to you.
Well, it's been great talking to you, and good luck with your new book. I'm excited to read that to you in June, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.